أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. الحمد لله الذي فطر الخلائق بقدرته ونشر الرياح برحمته، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمهم فداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. Brothers and sisters, I would like to and I need to advise myself first and foremost, and you all, we all need to be advised on a weekly basis to be pious, to practice taqwa, to practice what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has directed us to in the Holy Quran and the teachings of the Holy Prophet and the Imams sallallahu alayhi wa ajma'in. One of the stories that we come across in the Holy Quran that's repeated a number of times is a story regarding Bani Israel. You know, the topic of Bani Israel, the children of Israel, the Jews, the Jewish tribes, is a story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned on numerous occasions. I think we can very comfortably say this is a story that has been discussed in the Holy Quran more than any other historical fact. Of course, there's different aspects of this that have been discussed. And before getting into it, I want to remind us that the stories that are mentioned in the Holy Quran are not mere historical facts to know of. Quran is not a history book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the previous nations and what happened to them for us to learn from them. It's very important to keep that in mind. When you read a history, historical fact in the Holy Quran, you should be thinking, what is the benefit of this for me in the 21st century? Now, one of these stories in regards to Bani Israel is a verse in the Holy Quran. One of the places where it's mentioned is Surah Baqarah, verse 57. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وضللنا عليكم الغمام وأنزلنا عليكم المن والسلوى كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم وما ظلمونا ولكن كانوا أنفسهم يظلمون. We sent upon them clouds to give them shade. And we sent to them these birds, small chubby birds, and salwa, syrup or honey. Eat from the good that we have provided for you. We did not oppress them, they oppressed themselves. What is this verse referring to? You know, when Bani Israel left Egypt, when they left where they had stayed for some centuries after Prophet Yusuf had established himself in Egypt, and I'm sure you, at least some of you, have followed the movie that was made in Iran, Alhamdulillah, been translated. So that's where the Jews got established in Egypt. When Prophet Moses came, they went back towards Jerusalem. The story is that after they left Egypt, they were supposed to go and establish themselves in Jerusalem. But They weren't given that opportunity freely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is where you have to be, but you have to work for it. There are an oppressive people living in that area right now. You need to fight them. They said to Prophet Moses, you and your Lord go and fight, you sit back here. Whenever you're done, we can enter the city. They didn't want to fight. They disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah told them that, well, if you don't want to fight, then actually you're not even allowed to enter the city for a number of years. Where are they supposed to go? They went to a desert. Obviously, a desert is not going to have good weather. It does not have good water. You can't find a good meal. What happened was that when they went there, after a while, the reason why they were sent there was for this, for them to realize they made a mistake. Following up that line we talked about last night, this was that guidance to make them feel like they need to repent, they need to turn back, change their ways of life. So anyhow, once they decided that they realized they made a mistake, they needed to change their ways, they repented. At that point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't tell them to leave that desert. Instead, what He did was what this verse said. In the desert, the weather is not pleasant, the sun is blazing, and there's not good food. So what He did, although they were in that harsh environment, He provided that pleasant environment for them. He sent the clouds that were not normal clouds. Normal clouds, what happens is that they move, right? They're not stationary. But these clouds stood there to shade these people. Then what happened was, all of a sudden there was an abundance of these pretty big, lazy birds that were easy to catch. You could easily catch these birds. I don't know if you've been to desert areas. Some areas you can find these little birds, but not in abundance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent these big, chubby, lazy birds that can't fly too much, so they could easily just grab one and roast it and have a good meal. He also provided the honey or the syrup for them. What's the story to learn from this? What is the point? What is the lesson to learn from the story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us? I want to mention a couple of things. One is, they're in line. Okay, there's two points that I want to talk about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Holy Quran, one example, Surah Iskra, verse 30. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء ويقدر إنه كان لعباده خبيرا بصيرا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides sustenance for His servants. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides the meal you and I eat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides the water, the pleasant climate that we live in. All that's provided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The story tells us that when you decide to do the right thing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to provide you. The second point, which is important to understand this that I just said, and I will expand on it, but the question comes to mind, when we say God provides, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides, we're looking for this extraordinary route that somebody just slips in a big pocket, a big envelope of money in our pocket. That's the way we think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to provide for us. All of a sudden I get a call that says, did you apply for this job? We think that's God providing for us. Out of the blue, out of nowhere. And then when we can find a scientific explanation for something, when I think, oh, wait a second, yes, I did give these guys a call, then I think, oh, this is not from God, this is from me. This is the way we look at it. I want to use the story and what we have, the narration regarding the story and how this happened, and a very fundamental point for us to realize, so we can understand and comprehend is the right way for the practical benefit that we can get out of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just abracadabra out of nowhere, out of thin air, just create these birds that came into existence there in that desert. That's not the way it happened. That's not the way that God does things normally. The system that He has created, you and I don't know what's coming, but He knows what is coming. He makes it come your way. These birds were actually in a region in Africa, which there was a drought or something, they had to leave that region. They moved out. They were looking for a place. They arrived in this desert as where they landed from the sea. The timing was matching where right after the repentance of these people, the birds came there. Why am I saying this? I saw an interesting documentary. Of course, this is a question that I think all of us have, the way we understand when the Holy Quran says, we will provide you, we think that, it's only the example of the Prophet Moses hitting his cane to the river, to the Nile, and opening up. That's a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does things. Otherwise, it's nature. If it's natural, it's not divine. If nature does something, then it's not divine, it's not God's doing. There was an interesting documentary that was talking about these, Mormon crickets, they called it after that event that took place in the 17th or 18th century in somewhere in the west coast of the U.S., where the Amish apparently had settled. They had planted their crops right at the time where the crops were getting ready to be able to be harvested. All of a sudden, there were these crickets that came, and like grasshoppers, they started, eating the crops, and everything was being destroyed. So they tried everything, nothing worked. What happened was that they started praying to God. They started praying to God that, oh God, please relieve us of this problem. So they said, all of a sudden, they saw these birds coming from the sea and picking up these grasshoppers and crickets and taking them. Some of them had even said they saw these birds just dropping them in the sea and coming back and taking more. Now, when you hear this, before the rest of this explanation, you feel like, oh, this is so divine. God sent these birds right after. Then the scientist there says, well, the scientific explanation for it is that apparently those birds were having trouble finding food somewhere, and all of a sudden they just gathered there. There was an abundance of these creatures that were their food, so they just went and started digging at it. So, the problem is resolved. There's no divine footprint there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't do anything. This is a very wrong perception. Very briefly, I want to say that the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I do this for you, how do you think we get the sustenance? How do you think that we get the water? How do you think we get the food? Did we create that? Do we cause water to have this property that when you drink it, it helps you continue your life? Do we cause that relationship? Did we cause those birds in this story to be hungry somewhere else and want to move at that point and arrive there right at that second? We didn't do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this whole system, and at any point, He knows how He deals with it. You'll say that scientifically this is how it happened. Where if they hadn't repented, God would have done something without you and I noticing, the birds would have ended up somewhere else. For some other people, maybe, or for maybe even animals, and they would have done something else. Don't think that if something has a scientific explanation, then that's not divine. This is very technical, because that scientific explanation is not why this is happening, it is only how it happened. Okay. That's the means by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works. It is God that is the cause of all of this, not anybody else. The scientists only discover how the system works, but they cannot discover who does this for them, who makes this work in this way. Now all of this, to emphasize, brothers and sisters, is a reminder. The sustenance, this is very important for us living in the West, in this materialistic environment, okay, that all we worry about and all that's on our minds is how to make a living. The economic downfall, we're all worrying, oh, I'm going to lose my job. Don't forget, we are only responsible to work. It is a responsibility for us to work. God has told us to work. It's a worship, actually. But we're not responsible for the sustenance that comes. God is providing that for us. Okay. Now that means a lot of things. That means I don't make the wrong decision. I don't disobey God's law to think that, oh, if I don't do this, I'm going to lose my job. It's a wrong decision. Didn't look at it in the right way. And I'll tell you one thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has warned us in the Holy Quran that the dunya will cause you and cause us to actually think of this in the wrong way. We'll be tricked. Before that, God is the provider. I read the verse that talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving him sustenance. But I want to read another verse that's very important. In a way, explain the gist of it, but it's very important to read this verse. Surah Al-Falaq, verses 2 and 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the following, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِهِ قَدْ جَعَلَ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. This is a verse that every one of us has got to memorize and keep reminding ourselves. Every single day. Whoever is God-wary, whoever does what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told him, without questioning, without saying, oh, if I do that, I'll lose this. If they practice, if we practice what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said for us to practice, He says, يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. This is very important. Have you ever come to a situation where you think this is a dead end, there's no way out? I think I can mention a number of cases that if it hadn't been for the divine planning, you'd think, well, this is the end of it. There's just no way out. One example was, rahmatullah, who passed away. The gathering for the funeral was, some of the brothers here were there, they know how grand that was. I was about to get stopped over it. At a point, I was like, okay, this is it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up. Okay. يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. I'm not by any way saying that I have that first part of مَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهُ. No. He opens up for the non-muttaqi either. People that are not muttaqi, He opens up doors for them as well. But for the muttaqi, there's a promise. For a person who practices what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, there's a promise. Don't worry about it. It's ridding you of these worries. Don't worry about it. You just do what I've told you to do. Don't worry about the outcome. I'll fix it out for you. If it's job, if it's money, if it's the house, if it's... Don't worry about it. That worry causes us to get into a lot of trouble, brothers and sisters. Okay. Just get that off your mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't worry about that. I'll provide that for you. Just listen to what I said. So firstly, I'll open up doors. Then it says, يَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. He will give and provide sustenance from means that he wouldn't have expected, never expected. Okay. This, I don't know if you've experienced, I personally experienced this. Again, not to quote that. Obviously, very obviously, I'm not a tabi, but to a limited experience. I've experienced this. The teachers that are trying to talk to them, and the experience that they've had, very clear examples. Just when you tawakkal ala Allah, if you rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's going to suffice you. You don't need to worry about anything. You don't need to worry about anyone. And the rest of the verse. But what happens is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in Surah Luqman, verse 33, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم واخشوا يوما لا يجزي والد عن والده ولا مولود وجاز عن والده شيئا إن وعد الله حق. This piece was talking about the hereafter warning, that it's going to be very tough, and no one can take care of what you and I have done except for us. My child cannot help me, my parents cannot help me, my relatives cannot help me, my friends cannot help me, I'm on my own. Then he says, فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Don't allow the life in this world to deceive you. It's deceptive. All these scientists have been deceptive in thinking that we figured it out. It's not God. They used to talk about God when they didn't know what caused this. Now we know an earthquake is caused by whatever the explanation is scientifically. But, as I said, that's a very technical point. Remember that. That's just explaining how this happens. It doesn't explain who did this. That's how the dunya is. It deceives us. So be careful. Don't let the dunya deceive you. Also, there's another factor here. وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Shaytan, he also tries to deceive you. Watch out so you are not deceived. If sustenance is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which it is, then we have got to spend it in the way of Allah where He said it. For ourselves, we have to spend some. For our families, we have to provide for them. But there's other means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's other ways that we are supposed to spend our money. We should not worry about what happens to the rest of us. For as long as we are doing our responsibility, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to provide for us. We shouldn't worry for that. Allahumma ighfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal 'asr innal insana lafi khusr. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
ونصلي ونسلم على أئمة المسلمين أمير المؤمنين علي بن أبي طالب علي بن أبي طالب والحسن بن علي والحسين بن علي وعلي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف القائم المهديين أرواحنا لك الفداء ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين. I would like to advise myself and you brothers and sisters again in this sermon to be God-fearing and to practice what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided for us in the Holy Quran and Sunnah. Along that line, I would like to say, brothers and sisters, we get together on occasions of the birth and the martyrdom of the Imams, and we just had one, the anniversary of the birth of Amir al-Mu'mineen, Mawla ibn Muhammadin, Ali ibn Abi Talib, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We get together and celebrate these occasions. We set up programs. We talk about them. we praise them, the anniversary of the birth and the anniversary of Shahada, we mourn their passing away and the cruelties that happened to them. But brothers and sisters, it seems like these programs are held in respect of the Imams, in respect of the Holy Prophet, in respect to the hardships that the Ahlul Bayt sallallahu alayhi wa sallam faced. Yet we forget that those struggles were to give us what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as guidance, what to do and what not to do. We don't listen to that, we don't go and learn what that is, and we sit around talking about the good things that they have done. Is that the good appreciation? Is that how we appreciate the hardship that they've gone through? That hardship, if you want to appreciate that, you follow up their role. You make what they did worth it by listening to what they have done, what they have brought, the message they provided us with. In Surah Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وعد الله الذين آمنوا منكم وعملوا الصالحات ليستخلفنهم كما استخلف الذين من قبلهم وليمكنن لهم دينهم الذي ارتضى لهم وليبدلنهم من بعد خوفهم أمنا يعبدونني لا يشركون بي شيئا ومن كفر بعد ذلك فأولئك هم الفاسقون. You know, in the second khutbah, one of the necessities and one of the responsibilities is to talk about the affairs that are going on around us in the world, so we have a better understanding. As I just say, it's very important for us to make the right decisions. The verse that I recited to you is a verse that gives a promise to those who believe and practice what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to them. That if you listen to what God has said, if you have a community that is all faithful and practicing, I will enable you to become the rulers of the earth. Now, the application of this is not only becoming of the 12th Imam, but becoming of the 12th Imam, Abdullah Ta'ala, Qadr al-Sharif, Wahwahum al-Mufida, is the grandest example of this. The other verse in the Holy Quran, or one of the other verses that talks about this, and more specifically is talking about that event at the end of times, is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Anbiya, verse 105, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَلَقَدْ كَتَبْنَا فِي الزَّبُورِ مِنْ بَعْدِ الذِّكْرِ أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِ الصَّالِحُونَ. We have written in the Psalms of David after a dhikr, which has been interpreted to be the Old Testament, that أَنَّ الْأَرْضَ يَرِثُهَا عِبَادِ الصَّالِحُونَ. The earth will be inherited by the righteous servants. The earth, not a part of the earth is going to be inherited. This is referring to the coming of our Imam, Ajalallahu Ta'ala, from the Shaykh. What I want to talk about is the affairs that are currently going on in the world and our relation with that. What happens to us, especially out here in the West, in our small communities and the small numbers, is that the way we view things is that we're losing. Constantly, 24/7 on the media, what you're getting is this message. Whatever movement has started anywhere in the world that is opposing the modern imperialism of the West is being cracked down on and is coming to an end. This is the message that is given to us. Looking around us, we're seeing very small numbers. This is Jonah. We started 130, and you know, a very small group of people are coming. There's this little masjid here, masjid there, masjid downtown, here and there. We have these small little masjids, and when we talk about our gatherings, we're constantly saying, oh yeah, we're losing the youth. The numbers were this much, we started this movement, now it's all gone, or almost all gone. This is the way we see it. Anywhere, pretty much, that I've spoken to youth here in the West, this is the impression we all have. I want to say, the reason why I recited this verse is to give us this understanding that that is the wrong impression of how things are going. That's very wrong. How is that? I'll mention the verse and we'll give you some examples. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse is telling us the future is bright. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us the direction that this life on this earth, which is not even the life that we're supposed to be living, the true life that we're supposed to have is the eternal life after leaving this world. But even in this life, the direction that existence is taking, all of humanity is taking, is towards the positive, not the negative. Don't get that wrong. It's very important that we don't get this wrong. Shaitan comes into us and keeps whispering that no, things are not going right. What is that going to cause you to do? You're not going to feel very passionate about doing anything in the social arena. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is the direction that the earth is taking. To clarify that a little bit, the impression that we have of the coming of the 12th Imam is usually that this earth is getting so negative, everything is so bad, that the Imam is going to appear and out of the blue, everything is just going to turn around, direction is going to turn around, and everything is going to become very good at that time. Well, I have a question for you. Was the world a basket of fruits during the time of Imam Khomeini? Why did he get killed? Nobody followed him. The Prophet left his world, the Muslimin left him. That's the way things were. Was that the best situation? Why did the 12th Imam go into occultation? Why can we not have direct access to our Imam? Just because he wished not to be with the people? The hadith, a number of them that say, the reason was that he feared death. Not that he fears death, but he needs to stay alive. If he would have stayed amongst the people, they would have killed him too. They wanted to kill him when he was 5 years old, when his father passed away. They were looking for him. They didn't even want him to be born. That's the situation that that time was. If things needed to be bad, they were bad as you could get at that time. This is not the proper. This is not the full story. The full story is the people, humanity, has actually got to be ready for this. If everyone's bad at that time, who's going to listen to the 12th Imam? The 12th Imam is going to come with 313 people and kill everybody? Which is the impression some of us have? Well, that's not the way it's going to happen. The majority of people are going to be prepared and ready to accept the message. That's positive, it's not negative. Yes, corruption by a small number of people is going to be widespread, but the people, the majority of the people, are actually going to be ready to accept the truth. They're going to be looking for it. All that explanation was to say that the direction has got to be positive. It can't be all negative. And things become so bad, everybody's a bad person, And they're all waiting to get a chance to kill the Imam, and then he appears at that time. Well, that was happening 1,200 years ago. The direction, don't get that wrong, the direction is right. You're moving in the positive direction. Example, I can think of plenty of examples. We're just not getting the right information of what's going on. Remember, this is a little older than recent this year, but remember the Lebanon War? The whole world was saying that they don't stand a chance. You're talking about a small little militia inside Lebanon. And the Israeli war machine, which is supplied with technology that may, some of it may even be better than what the Americans have, although the Americans provided for them, but there was certain research that they did themselves, and they were, of course, they were proud of their tank that they had made, which proved to be very, very effective. But anyway, the way it seemed like was that, no, this is going the very wrong direction. What happened? They went in there to crush Hezbollah. They actually made them a hero in the entire Muslim world. Even the non-Shias. The number of people that were accepting the Shia faith increased. They don't talk about these figures, but this is a fact. What happened after, I mean, there's certain things about them, when I said this is a fact, okay, there's certain figures I cannot present, okay, because it may cause, it may actually work it'll be, you know, bad for the movement of the Muslims, and it will cause maybe a certain level of disunity amongst the Muslims. If I would give certain figures that are facts, okay, about Islamic movements, that's as far as I can get. But the increase in the number of people that are accepting the Shia faith has risen dramatically. The war on Gaza last year, or actually hasn't even been a year, what happened there? I mean, could you even think and isolate it very small? I don't know, have you even looked at what the Gaza Strip means? That's isolated, no access to anywhere. And these brothers and sisters fought in the way they did with the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were actually very capable of not allowing the Zionists to come in. They had to move back. And it's interesting that the Lebanon War, which Hezbollah was much stronger, it took them 33 days to come to the conclusion that they cannot go on any longer. But in the Gaza War, it took them 22 days to realize that they cannot go on with this any longer. The most recent event that you've seen on the news for the past few weeks has been the event of the Iranian elections. Let me tell you just one thing. I don't want to get into the politics to cause division. You know, people start talking about like this candidate or the other candidate. Whatever the candidates. Whatever the election, whoever you voted for. I have nothing to do with the elections themselves and who voted for who. I want to talk about the way the West dealt with this situation. Follow the news for the past 4 years, however you view the president of the Islamic Republic. Okay. Whatever your view and your impression of him is. One of the ways to know, at least part of what somebody is doing, is when all of your enemies are like, we cannot take this anymore, just get rid of this guy. That's one of the ways. And if you have an enemy that's saying, get rid of this guy, what does that tell you? I mean, he's your enemy. He's not going to be advising you, I think it is to your benefit that you get rid of this guy. I think that's simple logic, that's common sense. What happened was, well, before the elections, they went out all over the place trying to give this extremely negative impression of what is going on in the country. Okay. I'll give you just a couple of facts. Our time is coming to an end, or maybe we have even come to an end. We have to do it again as a day up to make sure we've done our responsibility. But just a couple of facts. Okay. When we were watching the media, whether the Iranian media or the Western media, the picture that was painted was that there's no way this little guy called Ahmadinejad is going to be winning the election, just like the previous election. It was the same exact way. But when you go on the streets, like, wait a second, what did I just read? What am I seeing here? Okay. You didn't get any of that picture. Okay. Let me remind you that the Islamic Republic consists of 70 million people, and there's only 10 million of them in Tehran. And out of those 10 million, only 4 million participated in elections. And out of those 4 million, the maximum number that they said were on the streets protesting the results were 3 million. So 70 million, 3 million, I don't think we can come to a conclusion that this is actually the way these people want their country to be run. The city, I was in Qom, and say, oh, okay, that's a religious city, so they're going to be... Well, that's not the only city. I don't know how many of you are familiar with Iran, but the southwestern city of Ahvaz is definitely not a religious city. Definitely. I don't know if you've been there, or if you know it. I've lived there 9 years, I know what I'm talking about. One of the worst parts of the city is an area called Kiampos, okay, where the Richies live. Okay. So we have people in the crowd that know what I'm talking about. The worst place, you ask anyone now, if you want to go to a very westernized part of the city, where do you go to? Kiampos. My sister lives there. Okay. And what was interesting, they were actually surprised, because they didn't expect anyone in that region, at least of that city, to go out and start at least announcing that they're supporting the president. But it turned out, on their streets, and some of the other streets that they could see, well, obviously, they probably did take the record and check out every single stream in that. But it gives you an impression of what that city is looking like. They're actually, they got posters of Ahmadinejad all over the place. Like inside the house, not on the wall outside, you say, oh no, somebody just posted that there. No, that's not the situation. Okay. When he went there before the elections, the campaign trip, it took him 3 hours to go from the airport to Musalla. I don't know if you know how it was. It should take about the maximum of 30 minutes. It took him 3 hours because of the number of people that were there. Okay. Not only in the broadcast, you didn't see any of that. All of what I'm trying to say is that during that time, the way they made it seem, because they really wanted a change, okay? They didn't want to make a change inside the U.S. That academic slogan, the change that came from President Obama, was change of others, not the change of them. Okay. So, anyhow, they really wanted that, but it didn't happen. Now, they were hiding behind their diplomacy for some time, and he was doing a very good job. Some people were actually starting to shake, maybe it's not a bad idea to go and start having relationships with this country that has taken everything we have, they don't want to pay anything back. Why not? Let's go. He wants change, right? But what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned, وَمَكَرُوا اللَّهُ اللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. It's, when I'm expressing this, you don't know my internal feelings. Because I felt this, okay? It's different. There's a difference between just hearing something and feeling what actually happened, okay? What happened was that they showed their face, they revealed what they had internally, and they got so excited about the situation inside Iran. They actually thought something is going to happen. We were sitting there laughing our heads off, okay, about what the media is saying. We said, this is not taking place. What are you talking about? But they were so excited. They thought, finally, we're doing something in this country after 30 years. Oh, I'm sorry. You just strengthened them. You made those people that were kind of thinking, let's have a relationship with them. I love how many put it in very nice words. He said, they got this confused. They didn't realize that whatever they touch, the Iranian people consider that najis. He And I, when I go towards that, made a big strategic mistake. These are just these grand examples that I'm throwing out at you. Brothers and sisters, I've gone around Europe and America, North America, Canada, U.S., different parts of the U.S. Okay. Don't think the numbers are small at all. That's the deception of this world in Shaitan. He plays around with your mind. That's not the way it is. The real picture is we're winning, brothers and sisters. That's what's happening. We don't need no war. Whoever thinks that terrorism is going to work, or they call us terrorists, no, that's just not the way we work. Okay, you don't need that. Islam is a message that is in line with the spirit of humanity. Whenever the scene is ready, when they get the true message, they will accept it and they'll start moving in the right direction. That's the way it is. And that is happening. That is truly happening. Inside Iran, I don't have time to go further with that in this whole process. They show that there's actually a very, very strong movement towards progress. And I can't expand on that anymore. Remember that this is the direction. The issue is with me and you, this is the practical part of it, where we stand. God is directing us in the right way, but there's no guarantee if you and I are going to be on the right side in these tests. Amir al-Mu'minin sallallahu alayhi has a statement in Nahj al-Balagha. He says, تَغَرْبَلَنَّ غَرْبَلَةً وَتَغَرْبَلَنَّ بَلْبَلَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this universe for testing. If you expect to have a nice, comfortable life, not worry about anything, that's not this life, that's the hereafter. You're going to be tested in this life, brothers and sisters. Especially if you are faithful and you're a believer. God says you're a believer? Prove it. Prove it. It's not easy. I will put you through tests, and these are the most difficult ones, where, as Amir al-Mu'mineen, I will read this hadith from him. It's very important. You and I are going to be tested. The movement is in the right direction. It's whether we're going to follow in that stream or we're going to go against that flow. Amir al-Mu'mineen, in describing the holy event of Saqifah, he says, it gives a general principle to us. This is narrated in Sunan Kafi. There's a similar narration, very similar. It's the same topic, actually. But the wording is slightly different than Nahj al-Balagha. This is in Al-Kafi. You can find it in the first volume of it. And it's got a reliable chain of narrators, which makes the wording even more beautiful. Imam al-Baqir rahimahullah alayhi quotes Amir al-Mu'mineen. That Amir al-Mu'mineen addressed the people, and he said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّمَا بَدْءُ الْوُقُوعِ الْفِتَنْ أَحْوَاءٌ مُعْتَبَعٌ. The beginning of every fitna, there's the ahwa, there's the hawa, there's the desires that are followed, not the divine guidance. We have fitna, somebody here, one of the two sides, is following their desires. وَأَحْكَامٌ تُبْتَدَعُ. There's bid'ah that starts. يُخَالَفُ فِيهَا كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. They go against the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَتَوَلَّى فِيهَا رِجَالٌ رِجَالًا. Some men follow others. In other words, you have the heads and you have the general masses. All of this, if I would want to explain it in the context, the contemporary context, it would take time, but just, you know, think about it yourself. The important part that I'm focusing on is, starts from here. It says, فَلَوْ أَنَّ الْبَاطِلَ خَلَصَ لَمْ يُخَفْ عَلَى ذِي الْحِجَرِ. If anyone would give out their message was purely batil and wrong and nothing right about what they have said, any sane person is not going to follow them. Don't expect the batil, don't expect the people that are moving in the wrong direction, that every word they say is wrong. If you have that impression, you're not going to be able to be successful in the examination that God is going to have for us, the social ones. No. I'll leave the word. So don't expect it to be purely wrong and valid. وَلَوْ أَنَّ الْحَقَّ خَلَصْ لَمْ يَكُنْ اخْتِلَافٌ. Also, if people were saying only what the truth is, what the reality is, what's right, we wouldn't have any difference of opinion. We're all saying the right thing. So somebody here is doing something. What is that? He says, وَلَكِنْ يُؤْخَذْ مِنْ هَذَا ضِغْفٌ وَمِنْ هَذَا ضِغْفٌ فَيُمْزَجَانِ فَيَجِئَانِ مَعَانِ. They take a little bit of haqq and mix their batil in it, and they present it to you as a mixture, as a combination. Be very careful. This is very, very, it's such an important point for us to keep in mind. Don't look at only the positive of what is coming out and say, oh, that's right, actually. You know what? Don't just look at that. Look at what's hiding beneath that. They will put some haqq in it. They're not going to just present batil. No. Freedom. Dictatorship is wrong. We want to take that away. This is haqq. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's mixed with batil. How are you going to do that? It says, فَهُنَالِكَ مَا they do haqq and batil are mixed. فَهُنَالِكَ اسْتَحْوَذَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَى أَوْلِيَائِهِ وَنَجَى الَّذِينَ سَبَقَ الْعَلَى اللَّهِ. This time, our shaitan is going to have his chance. He will take his awliya out of the mu'mineen. People that had gotten used to not following only haqq. People that were struggling, were making a lot of mistakes. These grand examinations are social. You start seeing that more people are following through. And the important thing is, we're going to be one of those that we realize at that point we hadn't worked on ourselves hard enough to make that examination. And at that point, وَنَجَدْ بَلِينَ سَبَقَ دَوْمِنَ اللَّهِ مَسْنَى. Those who have worked for it, those who worked hard to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will make it through. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to pass these examinations, for us to have a right vision of the future inshaAllah. We ask Him to hasten the return of our Imam and to help us be of the true followers and true companions of our Imam. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صل على محمد.